Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello friends and welcome to your latest Kings of Anglia flagship podcast. Ipswich Town is what we're here to talk about. A momentous day, of course, for the country. Sounds like the Prime Minister Boris Johnson is going to resign. They're going to give it to Harry Redknapp, apparently, for the rest of the season. I'm joined by three of my KOA cabinet members, all of whom have told me to quit, but I won't, friends. You're stuck with me, I'm afraid. The Minister for Protein Powder, Stuart Watson, said, "You're a joke, Heath. It's time to go." The Minister for Squad Numbers, Andy Warren, said, "With all due respect, you've been a joke for 3 years at least. You're overstayed your welcome. Get out." And the Minister for Facial Hair, Ross Halls, said, "I do like you, Gaffer, but I think you should leave." I'm ignoring them all, friends, because I'm sure I've got a personal mandate to run this show. I hope you're having an excellent week thus far. We've got a lot to talk about today. But first of all, let me introduce those three wise men. I'm going to start with Rossi, the beard, the prospect, Cabinet Minister for Facial Hair. Roscoe, how the bloody hell are you?
I'm very well on this fine Thursday morning. Hope everyone else is as well listening, wherever you are in the world. Because we are worldwide, aren't we, KOA? We're massive.
Absolutely.
All that jazz.
We're absolutely massive.
But yeah, my facial hair is going to get a trim next week, so bring it on.
Exactly. Bring it on. Bring it on. Hutch Hogan, Andy Warren, how are you? You made your debut last night at KOA 5-a-side. I'm obviously still injured out for the season. Other players have dropped like flies, but you were making your debut last night. I understand it was a clash of titans last night. It was going to be the first time that Stewie and Ben Diath, basically the best ballers from what I'm led to understand, clashed at the goal centre. Hutchie, how was it?
A clash of the titans it was. I'll let Stu talk. What was the score? Like 25-5?
What?
Yeah, there was no clash mark. We got absolutely destroyed. Ben is very good at football.
Yeah.
Second gear, I think, for him.
Yeah. It wasn't a good night for us. Me and Hutchie were on the same team, and the losing team comprehensively beaten, humbled.
How did you feel, Hutchie, with your debut showing?
The last time I played any form of football was on the pitch at Portman Road for that Adidas kit launch game in 2019. So I was very, very rusty and very unfit. I did score a couple of goals, but very rusty and unfit would be my summation.
Rossi, hey, you're
good goalie, by the way. Good goalie, pulled off some great saves.
Andy,
yeah.
Cat Warren.
That's my position, really. But I didn't play in goal very much. But that's what I am, really.
That's what you are. Stewie, we know you're all jacked up now. You're twice the man you used to be. And I finally found out why, the motivation. Because last week, we talk about big sporting clashes, my friend. A lot of people will be able to relate to this. It was the school sports day at your daughter's school, which inevitably means the dad's race, which is why you've been packing on that muscle. You've now got the body of a 100-metre sprinter for the big dash. Talk us through it, because I know as much as you're going to try and play it down, if that was me, mate, I would have been taking it so seriously. How did you approach it?
Yeah, it's been a humbling few days from an athletic sporting point of view. Last night was very much a grounding. Head completely went. I just, give me the gloves. I'm going in goal. I had a sulk for a little while. I had a trampoline foot. Nothing was going right. I had no energy.
Yeah.
And that followed, a few days ago, daughter's first school sports day. Forget the kids' races. It's all about the dad's race, isn't it? The parents' race.
Mm-hmm.
I was up for it. My wife was trying, don't get your hopes up. So-and-so's dad's quite tall. So-and-so's dad's plays football. Wasn't getting a lot of support there. Don't embarrass me. She's a teacher at the school. I finished third, bottom line, and realised looking back at the footage how ridiculous I look when running, very pigeon-chested. Andy Warren's seen the footage. Kenlock was a term that was used.
There's footage. Why haven't I seen this? What we do,
you know, you don't get to see it because if I give it to you, then it goes everywhere.
What I do have is exclusive image from the race, Clash of the Titans at the Mid Suffolk School. Here we go. If you're watching on video, this is a treat for you. This is exclusive images from the race. The thing that I'm drawn to straight away, Watson, is you're running in bare feet. Like, I assume you've rocked up in flip flops, have you? Yeah. And that is immediately offered a 10-meter advantage to anyone else wearing shoes, surely.
I'll take that. Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, I'll be honest. Look how much effort is in my face there. And the other guy's just looking over his shoulder. He's just laughing.
It's Usain Bolt vibes.
Is that guy, look at him. Get that picture back up, Mark. Is that is a cross between Luke Chambers and James Norwood.
It is, yeah.
Who is that? Is it one of them? It's probably not James Norwood. He hasn't got kids. It would be unusual if he was at the school sports day.
But Watson, I think next year, if you turn up wearing shoes, that immediately gives you 5-10 metres on your performance from this year, I'd say. Plus, by next year, you will look like Dwayne Chambers, I'd imagine. So, looking forward to it next year, mate. You've got something now to build on.
Yeah. So that wasn't the finish line there. That was still, there was still about 20 metres to go, I guess. That guy's already looked over his shoulder. He's eased up. He's done the Usain Bolt. He's eased over the line. He's enjoyed it.
Mm.
I ran out of gas a little bit, and then another dad sneaked up on me on the blind side. As I eased up, I tried to give it the chest on the line. And then they have some teachers that come out and give out sort of stickers for first, second and third, which kind of contribute to your kids' kind of points tally for the day. So I'm like, well done, you finished third. That just rubs salt in the wounds.
Are you disputing the decision?
Yeah, I want to take it to what's the equivalent of VAR? Take it to the sort of
photo finish.
Yeah. I think Tech might give me second, but so, officially so third.
Your performance directly contributes to your daughter's overall score for sports day.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
Yeah, they give you a little ticket and you go and put it in the box for your child's house. So yeah, pressure. Wow.
That is pressure.
Hutchie, you've got that coming up next year. I assume you need to know what the event is, don't you? Because there's nonsense like an egg and spoon race, for example. You can still practice. Was that just a straight, 50-metre dash? Was it, Stewie, 100-metre dash, something like that?
Yeah, 100 metres. There was some further controversy, actually, because the house, the team that won it, I won't mention the name of the school, won it by a marginal number of points. Now, partway through the day, the head teacher just decided to join in one of the children's races and finish third, which may have been the difference between that team ultimately winning it. So
it sounds like
there was a few rumblings amongst the parents on the side.
It sounds like we need an EADT Sports Desk Investigate feature. They'll regret pipping you for second place, won't they? They'll live to regret that. Friends, just before we move on as well, I was elsewhere. I wasn't running in a school race. I was in Norfolk over the weekend and I had a brush with a very, very minor celebrity, which I'm going to share because I'm sure some people watch the show. We already know that Neil's dad from the Inbetweeners and also Julius from In the Loop has met my dog Benson and was terrified of him, but still offered a hand to him as a beautiful dog. Sitting in a restaurant in Norfolk, this guy walks in. Now, I don't know if any of you will recognise him, but I'm sure there'll be people out there who will. Do you know who this is?
No.
This, my friends, is the star of a show, which was on a couple of years ago on BBC Two, I think it was. He says, trying to get rid of it. Called Normal for Norfolk. Oh, it's gone. Come back. Essentially, it followed him, his travails as an extremely posh hall owner in Witherton in Norfolk and his efforts to make profit from what was essentially a crumbling ruin. He rocked up in the middle of our meal and immediately said, came over to Benson and went, what a character, fine looking dog. I'm not brave enough to pat him. He looks like he might eat me. Does he leap? So yeah, there you go. He was a bloody ruddy, bloody nice bloke there for a meal. I don't even know his name, but he's the star of Normal for Norfolk. So my dog now has met at least two minor celebrities. I'd say Neil's dad from in between is probably more of a big name than the guy from Normal for Norfolk. But there you go, friends. If you watched it, I've met him. Bloody nice guy. Eyebrows in real life are just as crazy.
Yeah, they need some attention.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We know what you can do with that, don't we, boys? Exactly. Manscaped. Use the code COA, manscaped.com, 20% off and free delivery. Please say Manscaped have signed with us until the end of the year, friends. Clearly, we are excelling at selling intimate shavers, boxers.
We need to break Norfolk, don't we?
We do.
Mark Ashton's talked about pushing back on Norfolk and Norwich, going back into the patch. Let's get Manscaped north of the border.
Well, I'll go and talk to my new friend. I'm sure he'll get involved. Right then, friends, that's enough for chat. Let's get into the serious stuff of football. We're going to start with sexy stuff. There's a lot to discuss this week, but sexy stuff is first on the agenda, as it always should be. And a story relating to a player who's not even at Ipswich Town is probably the story we're going to start with. Flynn Downes, formerly of this parish, Stu, heavily linked with Crystal Palace, now looks like he might be heading to West Ham for 12 milli. And you've put a story online this morning. Basically, what we understand to be the sell-on clause, which is obviously the big interest among Town fans. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, there's been a fair bit of speculation as to what Ipswich would get. It's been pretty apparent for several weeks that Flynn Downes, or several months really, given his form for Swansea, that he would be moving to a Premier League club. West Ham, to me, always felt like destiny for Flynn Downes, cheeky chappy Brentwood boy, I think. He's just a perfect fit for West Ham and they're going to love him. He's kind of, I guess, the heir apparent to Mark Noble. Him and Declan Rice could be some partnership at some stage. But yeah, they're talking about, I think he's at medical stage now with West Ham. It's going to be between 9 and 12 million. And our understanding is it's a pretty hefty sell-on clause that Ipswich negotiated when he went to Swansea last year, in the region of 20 to 25%. So that will be on profit that Ipswich make. So if it is 12 million, take off the 1.5 million that Swansea have paid for him. That's a decent profit there. Probably, you know, Ipswich are probably going to get somewhere in the region of £2 million, hopefully over the course of several years, which is a nice little bonus.
Very nice indeed, Hutchie. A windfall like that, which they probably wouldn't have been expecting at least this summer. Is that something that will change the way they approach transfer business this summer? That's not what people have been suggesting. Suddenly that we can start going for players that we maybe thought were a little bit out of reach. What do you reckon?
I don't think it will change an awful lot, to be honest. If we were talking three years ago, that's obviously a significant financial shift, having that coming in. But I don't think it will change an awful lot of what Ipswich are doing, to be honest. It's part of the business model to make money by player trading, significant money by player trading. Mark Ashton's made a big point of that in the past through his career. Did it a fair few times at Bristol City, notably with Adam Webster, which obviously affected Ipswich. But in terms of that money coming into the club, I don't think that will hugely change their financial power in the transfer market this summer, because it's already pretty strong, and I think they'll stick the course with what they were doing.
Very nice indeed. How do you reckon Downes will fare in the Premier League, Rossi? Do you reckon he's a sort of player who can hold his own in the Premier League?
He was destined for the Premier League, weren't he, really? I think we always knew at Town that we weren't going to be able to hold on for him that long, but yeah, I'm looking forward to him, you know, alongside Declan Rice. I think that, you know, West Ham fans were fearing Declan Rice was going to leave, but now they could have Flynn Downes. Apparently he was quoted as Declan Rice 2.0, but Flynn Downes is his own player, of course. And yeah, it's just good to see, you know, young players like Flynn Downes get an opportunity in the Premier League. You know, we've sold off players to go to the Premier League, Tyro Mings, Aaron Cresswell, the likes of that. But I think he's going to love it. I think he's going to thrive, and he's a West Ham fan, isn't he? So I'm sure he's going to love be wearing that West Ham kit, playing at that stadium. And yeah, I think he's going to do all right.
I think it's the perfect spot for him. Perfect spot for him in so many ways, because I don't think he's going to have to come in and play from the start immediately, because they've got Rice in there with Suchek, and Noble was only playing 10, 15 minutes a game, and he can kind of take Noble's place and grow into it. I think he might take a little while to grow into the size of the club that he's gone to. That will hit him. But I honestly think Flynn could play for England. I really do. Down the line, if he adapts to this, how we hope he might. I honestly think it's not out of the question that he could play for England one day.
7th of July 2022. Andy Hutch Warren says Flynn Downes will play for England. Note it down.
Could,
and remember.
Could play for England.
Will play for England. Will definitely play for England. Might play at the World Cup. I think that's what you said. Just note that down and we'll move on. Let's move on to more sexy stuff. It's obviously been a much quieter summer than it was last summer, but there are still stuff, things happening out there. Things have already happened. And Stu, another exclusive from you earlier this week was Town's link to a left back from Leeds, Leif Davis. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, someone who was seen as a bit of a wonder kid at Morecambe as a youngster. Leeds kind of snapped him up at the age of 18 before he'd even made his EFL debut. That was just a few weeks before Bielsa arrived at Leeds, and then Bielsa arrived and really liked the look of him and promoted him very quickly from the under-23s into the first team. Had a fair bit of traffic in the way, people like Stuart Dallas, Alioski, others on that left side, but was kind of always in match day squads on the fringe of things. Got a few appearances here and there for Leeds over the course of 3 years. There was a knee injury as well, which held him back. And then ultimately joined Bournemouth on a season-long loan last summer. And again, sort of similar story, a little bit of injury illness kind of held him back. And the guy whose name escapes now, the Zimbabwean international, ended up sort of making that sort of left-back role.
Zerma? Someone called Zerma?
Yeah. Zamora, yeah. Ended up sort of making that left side, left back role his own at Bournemouth. So a little bit frustrating there, but it's certainly seen as someone with big potential in the game. Still only 22. Yes, he's a left back, but he's an attacking left back. He's a powerful runner. He's someone that Ipswich could kind of convert in the same way they've done with Wes Burns. It's been reported elsewhere that Ipswich have made a £1 million bid. My understanding is that those reports are a little bit premature, that it's just at an inquiry stage at the moment, but he's very much someone that Kieran McKenna is very keen on. I think we said at the time when Greg Lee signed that there would be further additions to come down that left side. Where that leaves Matt Penny remains to be seen, of course, but I think more likelihood is with him in the last year of his contract that this would be a cash buy and would be, you know, significant money by League One standards. But the problem with buying from Premier League clubs is that at this time of year, they want to kind of stockpile their numbers. They want, you know, I think Leeds are going off to Australia for a pre-season tour on Sunday. They'll want to have several bodies to kind of to fill out their squad for that. Davis is on the plane, from what I gather. So you sometimes have to be a little bit patient. And we've discussed that on this pod, that they've done well to get, you know, a loan and three free agents in so far. Now they need to be a little bit more patient on some of these cash signings. Davis is one. George Hurst at Leicester will be another one. I'm sure they're all going to him to sort of hang around for pre-season. But yeah, a player Ipswich are very interested in.
I love the term cash signing because it just conjures images of Ashton just walking into boardrooms, just literally just, there you go, count that. I think it's a million, might be million five, don't really care. There you go. Hutchie, if Leif Davis comes in, is he coming in as the prohibitive starter at left wing back?
It depends when he comes in, doesn't it? I think there's if they're able to do something with him or somebody else in that position by the start of the season, in enough time, then quite possibly. But if not, we've seen it time again before that if you get the shirt, you can try and keep it. I wouldn't feel certain of him being the starter right now, but that's the kind of signing I want them to spend cash on. That's the kind of profile that I think spending cash, and that is a significant amount of money. I know £1 million in modern football isn't anything really. For a League One signing at left back for £1 million, that's really quite something. So if that ends up being being done, then that's a significant kind of investment in him. So he would be the long-term answer. Whether he's the opening day starter, that obviously remains to be seen.
Making moves, baby. And someone else is making moves this week, Roscoe. We have to mention this in the transfer roundup. Paige Peake, because it's an historic move for an Ipswich Town female player, moved to Southampton, rivals of last season, and it's the first time that a female player has gone for a fee. Now, for some nonsense reason, we can't say what the fee is. It's undisclosed, but it's certainly a substantial fee for the level, more than Town have signed male players for in the past, let's say. What do you make of it?
Yeah, as you said before, it's a historic move for the club to receive a fee for one of our players. You know, going to a rival of Southampton, but they're going to be Championship football. It's a good move for Paige in terms of going, playing Championship football, going to be a full-time professional player as well. But, of course, it's disappointing because she's one of our key players, you know, graduate of the academy. I don't know, the team is disappointed to see a player leave. But it's an historic, you know, move. And to get a fee for one of our players for the first time is a big statement, you know, for women's football. And, you know, best of luck to Paige and see how she does at Southampton. But yeah, just I think it's just disappointing to see a big player leave, but it's always going to happen.
How much of a loss will she be? She obviously was a key part of the side, wasn't she? Scored, I think, 7 goals, was it, last season? Good goal-scoring record for a defender. So a big loss, I'd imagine?
Yeah, definitely. You know, as I said, she's been a key player since she made her debut in 2019. She was known as the free kick queen because she'd always score from free kicks. She scored some unbelievable free kicks, especially against Norwich when we played them. Took a lot of the set pieces, took a lot of the penalties, scored against Southampton from the penalty spot in the league game against them. And yeah, it's, you know, a big player leaving. But it shows how well we've done with our academy because, you know, players now leaving for fees. And I think that was a big thing, signing pro contracts in the summer last year. Because Paige, if she didn't sign that contract, she could have gone for free. We wouldn't have got anything for her. So for her to go to Southampton for a fee, and it now proves why contracts are good because, yeah, there's so many players who could just leave for nothing. And, well, you put all that hard work in sort of growing them as a player and developing them, and then you just let them go for free. So, thankfully, we've got a fee for her. And, yeah, I'm sure they'll Southampton and us will play again at some point, and we shall see how she gets on.
There's a bit of a cheeky tweet from Southampton I saw announcing it that was, if you can't beat them, ... join them. And yeah, that's going to sting, that one, isn't it, Rossi? They sort of battled Southampton all year for promotion, just pipped them at the post, and then have pinched one of, if not their best player. So just let's hope next year's the one for the women as well, because if they don't get themselves up another level, then you leave yourself open to losing your best players, I guess, don't you?
While we're on the subject of moves and sexy stuff and all that kind of stuff, something that's not actually happened as yet, but another exclusive from Stuart Watson this week was a chat with a man formerly of this parish, started like a house on fire at Town last season, tailed off. I'm of course talking about Macaulay Bond. Stu, you caught up with Macaulay last week. We dropped the story on Monday. Excellent read, I thought, reflecting on his time at Town and also how he sees the future. For those of you who have not read it, still online, obviously go back and read it. But Stu, do you want to talk a little bit about your chat with Macaulay and your main takeaways?
There's not many footballers like Macaulay Bond around, is there, that are quite happy just to be accessible and speak so openly and honestly and passionately about their situation. Most are very protected and guarded by PR people. I've spoken to players in Macaulay's position, not quite Macaulay's position, but that have been in a bit of a will they, won't they, where they're at situation. And ultimately, I better not say anything now. I'm going to end up upsetting my employers and I'm going to put people's... And Macaulay was just like, do you know what? I'm just going to speak my truth. So I just want to tell my story and that's where I'm at. So he has, and I'm sure it hasn't gone, as he said in the article, I'm sure it hasn't gone down too well with QPR. He's obviously heading into the final year of his contract there to so openly court a return to Ipswich Town. But I've never seen a player care so deeply about a football club in all my years covering football as I have done Macaulay Bond. And I'm not sure I will do again. You know, we talk a lot about players kissing the badge and this is my boyhood club. And sometimes you feel it's a little bit for show. There was always the joke about Robbie Keane, wasn't there? Every time he signed for a club, they were the team he grew up supporting. And I think certainly within football, it's frowned upon a little bit. And McCauley sort of admits that, you know, the first time he kissed the badge and talked about Town, a few of the lads were sort of a bit cringy and looking at him. But then they realised very quickly, this is genuine.
Mm.
And I think there's no way you can read that interview with him and not realise, well, as he says, Ipswich Town is more than a football club to me. So I know it splits people's opinion. I know the second half of the season and some of the misses and dropping out of the team and constantly being offside, as I would say the general consensus it felt was, love him, but we can do better next season if we're going to get out of this division. But I just wonder if that interview has just maybe, and judging by social media, has made a few people think, actually, he did score goals in the first half of the season. He does love the club.
Mm.
We could do a lot worse than sort of getting him back, even if it's not to be a regular starter. But whether the stars will align for that to happen, we shall see.
An excellent read. If you're not ready, go back and read it. Hutchie, Rossi, McCauley, Bond, would you have him back? Will it happen? What do you reckon?
I still feel exactly the same about it as I did when we talked about this on a weekly basis in April and May. I would have him back, but not to be the main man. So what you would get, you could not get a more kind of heartfelt player. You know that he would come in supremely caring about what he's coming to do.
Mm.
And I think he'd come back with a point to prove. You've written something that's gone online this morning, Mark, about people with a point to prove. If McCauley Bomb was in the building, I think he'd have been top of your list of that for that article if he was here, because he would come back with the bit between his teeth, both excited to be back at Ipswich and looking to sort of prove people wrong, or just prove himself all over again and prove he was the striker from August till October rather than the one from sort of November onwards. But he's one that I would always have been happy to have had back, but I think they needed to recruit on top of him. But who knows? If it was George Hurst being leaked is a pretty different kind of player to McCauley Bon. Like Hurst could get in behind a little bit more, and that's not quite McCauley's game. He is always offside. That you can't get in behind if you're always offside. So I do wonder if is he the profile that they're looking for at the moment? I'd say probably not.
My gut feeling here, reading between the lines, is that Ipswich might be not stringing him along, but just, you know, the quote he said that Kieran McKenna sat down with him at the end of the season, said, you know, I like you, I like a lot of your qualities. This isn't a completely closed book for you. But, you know, we've talked about the George Hurst interest. They've already got Ladapo in the door. Jackson signed a new contract. We're probably working on the assumption that that Joe Piggott will probably move on at some stage in this transfer window. But there's probably only, even if Piggott goes, there's probably only room for one more striker here. Mm. And are they just kind of keeping McCauley Bon up their sleeve if options A, B and C don't move on? And then, you know, if McCauley's kind of turning down other offers, which he's talked that there has been on the table, where it could leave him in a slightly awkward position later in the window. But
we talked about this before, haven't we? He is in an awkward situation because he's not going to find a club that he is as passionate about. And this interview only hammers home that point.
Mm.
He's not going to find a footballing move that he's as passionate about anywhere in the world that other than Ipswich Town. So he's in a tough spot. I would love nothing more than to see, because I don't think anybody would love anything more than to see him come back and really make a success at Ipswich. Everybody's on his side. But if it doesn't happen, and I'd lean towards it probably not, he's in a tough spot. Particularly
just on the point to prove thing that you said, I didn't manage to include every single word of the interview in there because it was quite a long one, but I did put that to McCauley. What do you say to any of the Ipswich fans that maybe doubt whether you're, you know, basically can Ipswich do better than you? And he talked obviously quite openly about some of the off-field situation that maybe affected his form in the second half of the season with some fertility issues and miscarriages with his partner. And I'll always kind of highlight things like that. These are human beings. They're not robots, and they are affected by those things. But he just basically said, I will sit down with every Ipswich Town fan that doubts me, and I will buy them a beer. If I come back and score goals, as I believe I will do, it will be an expensive round, but I will buy you all a beer, he sort of joked was his parting spot. He said, I've shown I can score goals. I did it in the first half of the season. I know the question mark over me is consistency, and I believe I can have that consistency. So he backs himself, and he believes he's got unfinished business. But at the moment, I don't know what percentage chance I would say on this deal happening is.
That's a tough one. They're going to bring in somebody else that isn't Macaulay Bourne. I feel sure of that. But is there a scenario where they can move Joe Piggott on? And could Macaulay Bourne be the fourth?
Would he come for that though? To be the fourth?
Well, you wouldn't be. He would come believing he could fight his way.
Yeah, he'd back himself.
Past everybody, wouldn't he? And if you're coming back with the attitude that Macaulay's spoken of there, in terms of proving people wrong and buying the appropriate amount of drinks to sort of convince people of that, you'd back him to push his way past people. He'd come back absolutely pumped to do it. That would probably be the scenario for me where I could see that maybe happening. If you could move Piggott on and bring him in.
We don't know what the top end of the pitch is going to look like next season, do we? We don't know if it's going to be two strikers with one in behind, or whether it's going to be the single striker with two in behind. Obviously, the Salina situation is still very much in the air. You've still got Aluko, Chaplin, Cameron Humphreys is going to be sort of pushing on the scene to play in one of those number 10 slots. So we'll see. Maybe these friendlies will tell us a bit more.
I'd just like to go on record as saying, Macaulay, if you're listening to this, and obviously you are because you're an Ipswich Town fan, so this is the podcast you'd be listening to, I've got very severe doubts about your ability to score goals at Town next season. I'd say at least two or three pints worth of doubts. So happy for you to come back and prove me wrong and buy me.
I think these pints are only cashed in once he comes back and scores the goals. I think it's part of the promotion party.
Okay, right. I thought you were suggesting he would buy like people a beer on an individual basis.
That's what I thought.
Over a table, this is my. I'm gonna. By the time you finish this pint, I will have convinced you that I'm the man to be here. That'll be a very long process.
I'll see if I can get the T's and C's locked down on this one. I will come back, prove people wrong, and any that doubted me. Once I have proved you wrong, I'll buy a very expensive promotion party round.
Got visions of it being like a book signing. He's sat up there on his little toe. He would be absolutely smashed by the end, wouldn't he, if he's having one as well?
I'd be up for that.
I've got visions of this. He talked about, you know, obviously it could happen in January. It could happen in next summer. Ipswich might go down another route. They might sign another striker. Bonner ultimately ends up staying at QPR, doesn't have a lot of game time. And then January rolls around. And Ipswich are wherever they are in the table, in and around the top six. And you just need something to give everyone a bit of a lift. And you go and get Macaulay Bourne because he's now 6 months out from the end of his contract with a loan, with an option to buy. And that just fires everybody up and gets Town over the line.
Very important thing that needs to be considered in this scenario, that if you're going to hold out for the true Macaulay Bourne to come back, there's going to be a squad number shuffle. That number 18 shirt needs to be left free.
Well, this is something you make a good point, Andy.
A vital part of this.
Well, he has said to me, if I do come back, I won't wear any other shirt for Ipswich Town. And I've been a bit flippant about squad numbers, but I can't on this one because I think everyone knows the story behind why Macaulay Bourne wears 18. Go and look it up if you don't. Maybe Ipswich just need to keep that free.
Well, when that gets published, if that's vacant,
it's happening.
You all mock squad numbers, but obviously this one's different. But if it's vacant on that day when that gets published, that has to genuinely be the sign. If it's vacant all season, it's no one wears it until January, and then your little scenario can play out there.
Well, we don't want injuries, but you know, all of a sudden Caden Jackson or someone's hamstring pings in like December or something and you need a striker. It's hard not to be romantic about these things, isn't it?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I like it. I'm here for it. Right then, friends, let's move on. I'm going to introduce a new feature now, which I'm calling the Roundup, which is 5 things in 5 minutes. Basically, there's a lot we chat about on this show. Sometimes it goes on a little bit too long. There's stuff that's happened maybe earlier in the week or stuff that we've already talked about elsewhere. So by way of making sure we talk about these things, but maybe not in as long as we tend to do sometimes, this is the Roundup. So we're going to have a minute on each subject, friends. It's a free-for-all. Dive in. I'll give you the topic, and then you go. And the first one, before I start the timer, is going to be Armando Dobra. Just to say, if you want to see a kind of longer form chat between myself and Hutchie about Armando Dobra leaving the club, signing for Chesterfield, that is available now on our YouTube channel. And also go back and read Hutchie's stuff about Dobra's time at Town and quotes about Paul Cook. So I'm going to start you off. I'm going to start with you, Stu. Armando Dobra has left Ipswich Town. What do you make of it?
Yeah, shame that it's kind of ended this way for him, because when he first appeared on the scene, he was someone that was very exciting to watch. Not only his skill, but also his real sort of aggressive, competitive edge as well. But for whatever reason, it's kind of drifted away. And I think Andy has said in a piece that kind of the goalposts have shifted at Ipswich Town. The time frame has shifted in terms of what they need and now. And I guess once he kind of fell out of the Colchester squad at the back end of the last season, the writing kind of looked on the wall, really. But wish him well.
Always raw. We always talked about him being raw, and I only think he probably made it up to being kind of rare by the time that he moved on. Ipswich, like you say, Stu, that don't have time. They don't have time for that anymore. They've recruited above him. Look at it last summer. Chaplin, Aluko, Selena, Barry, all brought in ahead of him. Right, and was on.
There we go. Rossi, you're too polite, mate. You've got to jump in. Don't let these two blokes talk over you. Your opinion's valid. Right, next subject. Town lost 5-1 at Arsenal on Saturday in a friendly. They were ripped to shreds. Rossi, you kick us off. What do you make of it?
Disgrace. Absolute disgrace. I know, honestly. Pre-season it. You know, second pre-season game. I'm sure it's a nice little upgrade from the Needham Market game in terms of fitness and playing against What's his name?
They scored after 26 seconds, Arsenal. I think it was Janasian that made an absolute howler of an error?
They got caught playing out the back, didn't they, looking at those highlights. I mean, that was a very strong Arsenal team in the first half, particularly Bellerin, Ben White, Maitland-Niles, Pepe and Nketiah, who got a hat-trick, 4-0 at half-time. Second half was 1-1 against a much younger Arsenal team, but I'd love to know what Kieran McKenna was saying to those players. Have you seen that picture of him, sort of the back of Kieran McKenna and the players on the bench with their head in their hands? And I don't think he was very happy with the performance from what I gather.
Questions have got to be asked about McKenna. Right then, that's that one done. We didn't even need a minute on that. I'm going to start with you, Stu, on the next one because it's your story again. Mark Ashton, warning, bitter rivals Norwich City.
Yeah, that came from that fixtures breakfast that we spoke about. So, you know, as part of a much broader chat to the room, he was asked about the importance of the community, what is now the Ipswich Town Foundation, and repeated a line that he's kind of said before at different junctures, that Ipswich have allowed Norwich to kind of come onto our patch a bit too much in recent years. They've started to, as Norwich have kind of established themselves as this yo-yo club between the top two divisions, they've started branching out into Suffolk, setting up player development centres and trials and half-term open days and things at places like Witton in Ipswich, Bury St Edmunds, Kesgrave. Mm. And Mark Ashton saying, no, you know, enough's enough. We need to push back on that, and we'll push into Norfolk if we need to. So a little bit of fighting talk there from Mark Ashton. I know people have said it could leave you open to ridicule further down the line. And those with long memories will remember Ian Milne kind of ridiculing
Stewie took the whole minute. That's a
Can I butt in something here?
Yeah, go on.
You took. I was on holiday for this fixtures breakfast, which means I couldn't take up my invite. But what was the breakfast? What was available?
Bacon rolls.
Standard.
No pie.
No more questions.
Right, the next subject is Fabio Wardley being sponsored by Ipswich Town. I'm going to kick off on this, obviously, because it's my passion. And I think it's a lovely move from the club. We know Fabio has obviously said he wants to fight at Portman Road one day. He was a member of Ipswich Town's academy. And it's something the club don't need to do. But to have Fabio Wardley, and I'm going to speak to him later on today, walking into the ring in the O2 Arena wearing the Ipswich Town badge on his shorts, it's just a nice tie-up. There's a huge long line of boxers at the top level being linked to football clubs, Bellevue and Everton, Warrington and Leeds United, and obviously Man City and Ricky Hatton's probably the main one. But I just think it's a really nice touch from the club. And, you know, it crosses those lines between football fans and boxing. There's a big crossover anyway there. Anyone else got anything to say about this? What's his ceiling?
Yep.
Who knows?
What can he do?
Who knows? When he turned pro, there were people kind of saying he might get to English level. He's already English champion. Other people said he can be British champion. That's potentially the next fight, Nathan Gorman, later on this year. Who knows? He's an athletic freak. He's got serious power in his hands. Who knows? And he also moves incredibly well. And there is my time up.
Done, mate. Well done. I honestly didn't know if you'd stick to... Once you got going on boxing, I thought you might have strayed over the time limit there.
I could talk about it for a while.
I had to mute a conversation on Twitter with you that I somehow ended up involved in last night about boxing. Don't care.
Don't get me started. Fabio's fighting O2, by the way. Kingsley eBay this weekend, live on DAZN.
eBay?
eBay. IBEH.
Is he sponsored by eBay?
No, sadly he's not. Right, final topic. Derby County, the mighty, formerly mighty Derby County, now out of administration and making moves. Who's going to kick us off?
Same old Derby, innit? Splashing the cash on big wages. But they've signed some experienced players and promotion rivals again, pretty much, from out of nowhere. Dane McGoldrick taking on Town. That'll be an interesting. That's a nice little key point, talking point going into the games against Derby now. And Conor Horahan as well. So there we go. That's my take on that.
We'll see. I don't know if it's necessarily splashing the cash. I think they're still quite limited by certain sort of mandates and what they can and can't do in terms of deals. But I'd be interested. Yeah, I would describe these signings as interesting. I think there's some intrigue to them, kind of slapping a squad together willy-nilly, it feels like. Hurahane I really like. I think that's a really good signing. A couple of the others, not sure. But yeah, interesting.
Stu, you got any thoughts? It's eye-catching signing Dave McGoldrick, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got to look at the age of some of these players. McGoldrick, 34, says he's as hungry as ever. He's somehow managed to stay fit ever since he left Ipswich and has rattled out some games for Sheffield United. But he is 34 now.
There you go. Brings us to the end of the roundup, friends. I quite like that. That's going to be a regular feature when we've got enough things to fill it. Right then, friends. It's what most people are tuning in for, I'm sure. It's mailbag time. Hutchie, do you want to... Have you already gargled with some Listerine, warm up those vocal cords? Do you want to belt out the classic?
Sing it with me, everyone. I can't do this on my own. Don't you shake your head.
You're the man. Come on.
I'm not the man.
You are the man.
Mailbag. It's time for Mark, Andy, Stu and Ross to dip into the mailbag. Pathetic from everybody.
Nah, all round good performance. Still in pre-season mode. Got to get
Voice
miles
of an angel.
Got to get miles in the legs. Right then. I'm going to start off with, just because it's in order, Mullet, our old friend Mullet. What's your unpopular football opinion? I'll give you one. I quite like VAR. VAR's not as bad as everyone says it is. It annoys me. Yes, it annoys me. Maybe it's because I haven't had a dog in the fight. I haven't had a team that I've been passionate about losing out because someone's got a toenail offside. And maybe it's also because I've grown up with American football and video reviewing there, which I enjoy. But VAR, you can't say we want to get it right and then go, oh, we don't want to get it that right, though. Oh, So yeah, that's my unpopular opinion. VAR.
Have you been to a game where it's been used?
No. Maybe that would change my opinion.
Yeah, that might change your opinion.
What? I suppose when you're at a game and it's used, do you get to see the replay, or are you just literally just sat there? Okay.
No.
Well, that needs changing. They need to show the replay clearly on big screens like they would do in American football. Any other unpopular football opinions, boys?
I've got one, and I took to Twitter about it recently.
Oh, no.
The definition of a half volley. I need to get this off my chest.
Yeah,
it was a thread from 442 about Van Persie being the greatest volleyer the game has ever seen. He'd certainly be up there. I think those of an older generation would mention someone like Mark Hughes, Tony Yeboah, of course, you'd put in there. There's others. A volley is when the ball hasn't touched the ground, right? We're all agreed on that from the last person who touched it. That's a volley. A half volley isn't when it bounces. It isn't one bounce and that's a half volley. A half volley is as the ball just about touches the ground, or immediately, I mean, a split second afterward, just as it's popped up off the grass and you catch it flush. That's a half volley. Within that thread, there was talk of a quarter volley where the ball had bounced a couple of times. No.
Come on.
It doesn't exist.
When does a half volley just become a shot then? Is it literally
That's an instinct thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about, and I'm with Stu on this, is basically as the ball hits the ground or bounces up again. People who know what they're on about know when a half volley is a half volley. There's no definite parameter to it, but it's not. Quarter volley is nonsense, just like pre-assists are nonsense.
It's just, if it's bounced, it's just set up nicely. It was there to be hit, but it's not a half volley, okay? I will die on this football hill.
I love the way you just trot out football in cliches. It's just set up nicely, lovely. Any other unpopular opinions, boys?
I've got a classic, if you want. Yeah. Ronaldo is better than Messi. There we go.
I probably would share that opinion.
I prefer Ronaldo to Messi. He's more my style that I like. But they're both incredible, aren't they?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of passionate debate when you say that, though, isn't there? If you say that, because there's a lot of Messi diehards who think he's the best player who's ever touched the football and won't hear any other argument to the contrary. Hutchie, any other unpopular opinions?
There are way too many stats in football.
Interesting.
For a game that is so free flowing and beautiful and unpredictable, I think there are far too many stats that get discussed. You see people talking about signings to declare, like comparing, well, he made more penalty box entries than another player. Like, you can't compare levels. You can't compare. You can, these stats look great, but you can't compare the team they were playing in, the position they were in, what they were asked to do by their manager, the level they were at within their league, what level they're playing at, how old they were. Like, don't just chuck stats around. Let's all watch football and make our own decisions based on what we can see and what we like about people. Stats have their place, but there's too many stats.
That's interesting, because obviously you're a fellow fan of American sports and they are entirely stat-driven, but you're saying no to...
They're different sports, aren't they? They're completely different sports. Like, American football is all about gaining yards.
Yeah.
And all the related stats are about their individual plays. They're very, very different sports. And I don't think football needs the American sports treatment. That's what sets it apart. That's why it's called the beautiful game, because it's so free.
Like it. Right then, Chris Peachy, KOA Fan Social member. If you could relive/watch live any football game again, Ipswich or not, non-Ipswich, what would it be? Rossi?
It's more the moment, really. The Chaplow late winner, because I was probably top of that stand and I was at the bottom body end of that celebration.
Would you sit through the whole game again just to get that moment?
Yeah, why not? Because late winners, I love late winners. Noel Hunt's late winner. I was in that away end as well at the Valley and I loved that. And just any late winner just sort of revs my engine. So, yeah.
Would you know that goal was coming? Would you like be like, is that part of this scenario? If you're sitting there, do you know that in an hour and a half, Richard Chaplow is going to get a nice square ball from Freddie Sears and going to score and I'm going to go mad?
Think in this scenario, when people talk about, I wish I could watch like a TV series again, I think it's like not knowing. It's like, yeah, dealing with it in sort of from virgin territory again. So you get the nice surprise of the late winner. Yeah.
What about you? I feel like we've discussed this quite a few times. I'll give the same answer every single time. It'll always be that the Ipswich Bolton playoff game in 2000, because I was the perfect age for it for a start. I was 13 or 14. And you entered the night with it all level, 2-2 on aggregate, and with this blank, sort of blank canvas. And then what ended up on that canvas by the end of it was just outrageous. Like missed penalties, red cards, heartache, ecstasy, and then a little pitch invasion at the end. I had everything.
Stewie?
So many great moments in my time covering Ipswich to go back to, all the 0-0 draws, Burton at home with sort of the team flooded with defensive midfielders. Oh, just there's just too many, Mark, that I'd like to relive.
It doesn't have to be Ipswich.
I don't know.
I'll do mine while you think.
66 World Cup final, obvious answer.
It's all about reliving it. You weren't there the first time.
Oh, you have to have been there already.
I think that's the implication, yeah. I'm going to go with the best game of football I've ever seen live. It was about 1991 at the old baseball ground. This final score was Chelsea 6, Derby County 4. Chelsea went 3-1 up. Derby came back to lead 4-3 at half-time. And then Chelsea scored 3 in the second half to win 6-4. I loved it. I was there with my granddad. The best game of football to this day that I've seen live. And you can still find the highlights on YouTube. I've watched them and tried to freeze frame it. So if I can see young Heath, I can't. Anyway, there we go. Next question. And I like this. It's from Mark. What the heck, Beck? Ball and Morsey seem to be developing an early reputation as a pair of hard old bastards like it. But who would win if they competed against each other on the TV show Gladiators? Obviously, we're talking about the original Gladiators, not the remake. That never happened. I want your best impression of John Anderson's competitor, Gladiator Eddie. Gladiator Eddie! Interesting fact before we get going. John Anderson used to coach my mum when she was an international athlete, because he was an international athletics coach. Had the worst season of a career under John Anderson. Make of that what you will. But friends, Ball versus Morsey on Gladiators. How are you seeing it going? You've got Ball is bigger, isn't he? Physically, he's larger. He's longer. So he would probably excel more at games like Hang Tough and the one where you had to climb up a wall. But then things like Gauntlet and Murder Ball, whatever that game was, you'd imagine Morsey would be better at.
That was called Powerball. Morsey would be very, very good at that. Ball would win at the duel, wouldn't he? Up on the pugil sticks, I think.
I don't know that he would.
I think his reach. Yeah. He'd have better reach, I think. But overall, I'd back Morsey.
I think I'd back Morsey in any physical scenario against anyone in the Ipswich Town side. Potentially, maybe apart from George Edmondson, because he's.
We haven't seen Dominic Ball play yet, though. You speak to QPR fans, they'll tell you very similar things about Sam Morsey. 100% player, gives it his all, dies for the badge. I'm looking forward to seeing these two, the intensity twins, as I think I called them, in midfield together.
Did you see the picture of them having won the head tennis competition, Ball and Morsey? And I just felt sorry for Lee Evans at that point. Those two, like, best mates all of a sudden. Anyway, moving on. George wants to know, obviously, we record this podcast virtually from our bedrooms, or whatever you want to call them, middle rooms. He says, if you could record the podcast from anyone's bedroom, whose bedroom would that be? I'm going to go with you, Rossi, because you keep refusing to get involved today. Which bedroom, whose bedroom would it be from? Keep it clean, please.
It's definitely not mine because, yeah, mine's a mess. Now, I know Hutchie's got a TV, so that's a nice little, you know, distraction just in case you're getting bored. But then he's also got a bed, so you're going to have a nice little lay down. I'm probably going with Hutchie, I think.
Well, for everyone in the world, you're saying Andy Warren's bedroom?
I thought it was between us.
You're not well. Don't come and do it here. It'd be really weird.
Stewie, give us a more imaginative answer, shall we say. You've got any bedroom in the world?
Andy Warren's, probably. I mean, no. Ross has sold it to me. I could try on all his football shirts. What I would do is I would put them all on at the same time, every single one of his football shirts, and just waddle around. Ross is having a little nap with the telly on. That'd be great.
Hutchie, your bedroom's feeling very popular. What other bedroom would you like to record from?
Wallace from Wallace and Gromit's.
Great shout. to do the little slide down into the kitchen.
Yeah. Great shout. Inventions everywhere. The porridge gets squirted up to you where down at the deck. Straight into the world of Wallace and Gromit, please.
That's an unbelievable shout. Can't be bettered. We're going to move on. Carl Day, when a new player signs for Ipswich, they have to sing a song prior to making their debut. What would your song be? Stewie, what would be your song? Have you got a karaoke go-to?
What's it called? Jet, Are You Gonna Be My Girl? That's one I turn to.
Yeah. Mine, if you're asking, is Boom Shake the Room by the Fresh Prince.
Nice.
Superb. When I get on the mic, don't you worry. Roscoe?
It was originally, of course, Akon Smack That, but I've moved on to Peter Andre, Mysterious Girl. I chucked that out in a pub near me.
Six pack out.
Yeah, yeah. Did you start pouring water on yourself and sort of doing this business?
Yeah, it got all the room together. All the room started singing. So the Douglas Bader and Martsham got the room started. So that's
next,
my new one.
Next KOA Live, Roscoe will perform Mysterious Girl to end the night with his shirt off. That is a promise. Hutchie, you've got a song. You like eclectic Scandi rock. So can you do like Royksopp?
It's not really lyrical. Could do the mailbag jingle or Lose Yourself by Eminem.
This has to happen at KOA Live. These are epic tunes. Right, final two questions. Harvey Davis, friend of the show, Sweet Welsh Prince, wants to know, and this is a question just for Stu and Andy. Town have decided in a fictional world would only play our away games at one single ground for the rest of their journalistic careers. And Stu and Andy can decide which ground. All sorts must be considered. The time it takes to get there, the catering standards, everything. Has to be an EFL ground, though. Which ground would you go for, boys?
Have you got a winner, Stu? I went through all of them this morning. I came up with my winner. Yeah, I went through all three leagues.
I haven't thought about this deeply, no. My original instinct was just to say Colchester because it's down the road, but that's not the correct answer. Then I thought we could just buy ourselves a little sort of side house near where this ground is so that we could go up there every other week and stay. So then I thought that opens us up to the whole country. What's your winner?
Loftus Road.
Okay.
Why?
I love it there. I think the atmosphere there is brilliant, which helps for a start. Good working space, good Wi-Fi, lovely little meat pies. they're very nice and not horrendous to get to. Not particularly great. I'd go on the train though. Loftus Road would be mine. I love it there.
Very nice.
West Ham, logistically, I think we get the best of a Premier League ground. And then, like you say, we can just jump on the train to Stratford. That will do me.
Final question of Mailbag this week. And thanks for everyone who's got involved. Obviously, we can't answer them all. Otherwise, we'd be here all day. But we do appreciate them all. And if there's something you really want us to talk about, keep asking it when we put the thing out. We'll finally get to it. Peter, our Amsterdam correspondent, says the World Hot Rod Championship took place at Foxhall at the weekend and not a word about it in the ADT. I'm shamefaced. With the exception of hot rod racing, what sports do you all not give a damn about? I think I've made my views quite clear on nonsense sports on here before, and we have to finish at some point in the next 5 minutes, so I'm not going to start listing mine. Boys, have you got any sports you just couldn't give a toss about?
Winter Olympics.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't care about that very often. Like when they come around, I actually quite like watching the speed skating and things like that. There's loads of sports like that when they come around, I quite like it. There isn't a sport that I just detest. I like all of them in varying ways. Honestly,
really?
Every
single sport.
Archery?
Yeah. I'd watch a bit of archery. I used to be quite good at it.
Rossi, what about you?
Hockey. Just don't care.
Fair enough.
That's it.
I've got mine. I won't go through them again. That brings us to the end of Mailbag, friends. Hope you enjoyed that. As I say, thanks for getting involved. Now then, next up, next week, we've got a few minutes left in this show. West Ham. Town are actually in action against West Ham at Portman Road next week after this training week at Loughborough. Boys, what do we want to see? I guess one of the most interesting things will be the formation, will it?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if it's back four again like it was against Needham in the two halves. I don't think that means too much at this stage, but that'll be interesting. I think West Ham have got another. They're playing two games that day. They've got a team at Boreham Wood, so I'd, I'm interested to see who West Ham send to Portman Road, how many of their big name players, and whether Mr. Downs might be part of the West Ham squad by then. That would be quite fitting that his first game for them could be back at Portman Road. That would be interesting.
They did that the last time West Ham came to Ipswich ahead of the COVID season. They did the same thing and split the squads, and the Ipswich game got the better hand, I think, in terms of the West Ham squad. I haven't seen them yet this summer. I wasn't at the Needham game. I was on the beach, so I'm just looking forward to seeing Ipswich play football again and begin from there.
Yeah, follow that all with us next week. Ross goes off next week, so there won't be a game day or anything, but obviously the boys will be there and we'll be bringing you as much as we can from that day. I must apologise, Benson's just come in and started snoring loudly right next to me. That's what the noise is. There's not some kind of international emergency going on in my house. And we can't finish this week, friends, without an update on Ross Hall's driving. You had your theory test for the 174th time on Monday. What was the result, Ross?
Probably won't shock the listeners. I failed. Here we go again. Number £23 on the road.
I thought what we'd do, Ross, to try and help you, is have a little test every week on this show, just on what signs are. So you must have seen almost all the questions now anyway. So yeah. We're going to start today. For the viewers, I'll bring it up now. And for the listeners, I'll describe it. This is the sign. So it's a red circle with a long white rectangle in the middle of it. Ross, what does that sign mean?
It's no entry, of course, but if I didn't get that right, then you would be alarmed. Like, Ross, seriously?
Yeah.
But
I started easy this week. It'll get progressively harder until you finally pass. So there you go. One out of one for Ross on the KOA driving test revision. Friends, that brings us to the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed it. We've covered a lot of ground, a lot of questions and thoughts thrown in. Before we go, I must remember to tease various things. Excellent content out there if you've not already consumed it. Stewie did a really good interview with Rossi about his career to date. Felt a bit like an obituary at times.
No, the other way around.
Sorry, what? Oh, sorry, Ross.
I interviewed him.
Ross interviewed, I'm so used to Stewie interviewing people. Ross interviewed Stew about his time covering town. It was a very, very interesting listen. Lots of things in there that I'd forgotten even happened, Stew. We've been working together, covering Ipswich Town for so long. There's excellent stories in there, also excellent advice for those of you who want to get into journalism. So go back and listen to that. There's obviously the players with points to prove. Me and Rossi did a video that's on our KOA YouTube channel, so the story you can read online this morning. I've picked out 8 players who I say have got a point to prove next season. Mike's latest favorite town 11, which I think was Joe Fares off the top of my head, Blue Monday podcaster. Go back and listen to that, and also, of course, the Fan Social Pod from earlier this week. Friends, have you got any other business before we take our leave? Rossi has.
I know we're going over our time limit, but I thought I'd want to show you a picture. And what's your thoughts on the new training kit, boys?
I can't get excited about training kit.
That's my jazzy, thought. Though. Looks jazzy.
It is jazzy.
Why would you ever wear training kit? Why would you ever buy training kit and wear it unless you're an actual Ipswich Town football player, in which case you don't have to buy it?
Put it up again, Ross. It's jazzy. It's quite 90s.
I can feel myself going down a controversial sartorial opinion coming on. I'm not going to share it because the backwards hat thing is still being discussed. anyway, but yeah, not for me. Training kits, not for me. But that is, admittedly, that is jazzy. Any other business?
If you're the Boris Johnson of this podcast, as you set out at the start, sort of clinging on, does that make Michael Bacon the Gove of this situation? Have you just sat? Is that why he's not here today? Have you just sacked him out of spite? Is Ross Nadine Dorris just sort of backing you to the very bitter end?
Yeah, whatever. I can do no wrong. Ross would still say, great work, Gaffer.
Love the Gaffer. I don't know what that makes me and Andy, but...
Well, you're obviously Savage Javid, Stewie.
Okay.
And Hutchie, I don't know who do you identify with in the cabinet or ex-cabinet?
Probably Ed Balls. If we're talking politician, I don't know.
The wrong side.
Yeah, it is the wrong side. Boris is going full Mick McCarthy though, isn't he? By the sounds of things, he's going to be his own caretaker.
Yeah.
Does it end with him thumping his fist on the desk and saying, "I'm out of here"?
So, admittedly, this was before we started recording, but what I saw, he's resigning, but he's going to carry on until
the
summer.
he's resigning as Tory leader, but not as Prime Minister.
That's not as Prime Minister. So he's his own caretaker.
Essentially, yeah. He's still Prime Minister until the Tories pick a new leader, which will be after the summer break and after the Tory conference. So, yeah, he is his own caretaker boss until then.
Is old Pinchy Barry Cotter then? Is the kind of the catalyst for all this happening?
Yeah.
Boy, I feel us straying into dodgy ground here, boys.
Right, Mike's not here. We're okay.
Yeah. That brings us to the end of the show then, friends. As I say, do support our sponsor Manscaped. They've just re-upped with us for another 6 months. So go and buy yourself stuff off their website using the code KOA for 20% off and free delivery from manscaped.com. Some tremendous gear on there. Not just intimate shavers, plenty of other trimmers, clothing, aftershave, all sorts on there. And also follow us across all our social medias, Kings of Anglia on YouTube, please. Trying to build that. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Have a great weekend, whatever you're doing. And we'll catch you next time.
From true crime to football, Brexit to football. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.